have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here, back with the after show with my good friend, new friend, Claudio Vilas. For most people watching, if you follow the podcast and you tune in regularly, generally what happens is we record the first episode, we stop, we take a break, and then we do the after show, which is right after. In this case here with Claudio, we used up so much time in the first conversation with such a great thing. We ran out of time for the after show, so this is a little different. I'm wearing the same shirt if you're watching video. Claudio has had a wardrobe change because we're a couple weeks separate from that first one. So if anyone's tuning in like, wait a second, how long was this break? So I won't do what I normally do with Claudio, which is, how did you like the first part of the show? Because it was amazing and you might not remember all the details, but I'm super excited that you made time to come back so we could kind of film the post show. So
I love it. I love the after party.
Yes, it's the after party. And then a fun side note too for the audience, this is just real life stuff because I think this is always interesting. In the gap from when we recorded the first episode to recording this after show, Claudio and I actually met in person for the first time, which, you know, in this virtual world, we got clients of our company that have never met in person. All right, so let's pick up with the kind of after show, after party topics. The first one I always ask everyone is, what will brokers need to do to survive in the year 2030? It's 2026. You know, 4 or 5 years from now, what will broker M&A advisors need to do?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's talking about AI and technology and all that. I think to survive in 2, 5, 10 years from now, it doesn't matter. You got to keep it real, keep it in person, and use all those tools, use all those new developments to improve your in-person meeting. I mean, nothing better than you and I having a coffee, you know, one in front of each other. Every tool that we use, the AIs, the databases, the CRMs, and all that, in my humble view, is there to help you be more personable, be more in front of your clients, and really take care of them. In this space where I am, which is the lower middle market, it's really important to gain really good relationships and trust from your clients, because your clients are at a disadvantage with the buyers. If you're working with the buyers have a lot more firepower, a lot more people. And if you get close to your clients and you defend them and you actually are on their side, I think you're going to be successful now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It doesn't matter what technology brings, it's going to make you better, a better person.
Yeah. So I love that you said that it's a common theme of what I've said for years. And I love that you're talking about helping people, you know, personal, building relationships, supporting those relationships. And obviously you said defending, like being on their side and helping people and building the trust through the relationship so they know that your goal is their goal, right? It's not just a win-lose, but like it's a win-win and their outcome, you know, benefit or the success of their outcome is really your goal as well, no matter what. The one thing I've said for years and years is that technology and teams and or businesses or and anyone should put as much technology in place to handle the things that could be done through automation or technology, such that the only thing left is for you, Claudio, the human, to spend time in relationship and help that other human accomplish their goal, right? Automate and remove everything else or outsource it or build a team such that the one thing that's left, which is what will always be a thing, is humans helping humans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that's going to change. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that's going to change. Actually, it's going to be if you know how to use the technology and if you know how to put you need to have a really good back office team. If you can get a good back office team, whether that's AI or actual people, you know, you want to be in front of your clients. You want to be thinking about them. See, you know, one of the things that I do a lot is make sure that when I get offers, I really dig into them and I give my clients the understanding of what each part of those offers actually mean. Lower middle market offers, LOIs, are a little bit complicated. And if you're not really savvy on reading them, you don't know exactly which one's better, right? It's not just, hey, I'm going to buy your company for X amount of money. It's, I'm going to buy your company for X amount of money. There's going to be earnouts. There's going to be rollbacks. There's going to be holdouts. I mean, there's so many other things that go into an offer that if you as a broker help the seller understand it, you know, you're going to be successful because people want to trust you. And once you have one good successful sell, that successful sell is going to lead to two more successful, and then that's going to lead to four more, and then you're good.
Let's roll into the next question, which you've kind of set up, you've kind of addressed, but not specific. But this one is, what do you see as the number one tech shift coming to M&A?
Tech shift? I do see that we're going to have a lot of AI helping us in all different types of work. I see that. Well, here's the thing. Tech could be a gadget or it could be something strategically used. Okay, so everybody's going to say AI is going to change things. Yes, they will. But do you know how to manage AI? Do you have a strategy to use AI? You know, it's not toys that we're talking about. It's actually tools that you need to learn. And I do a lot of woodworking. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a really good, no, I'm not a really good, I'm a really advocate for woodworking. I'm terrible at woodworking, but you know, I buy the most expensive tools and I'm still suck at it. It's not the tools, it's me. But you know, right. I keep fighting. I mean, I keep trying to do it. Same thing happens. The funny thing is, well, that's my hobby. But for my job, you know, if I just bring technology stack to me and I don't know how to connect one thing with the other, and I don't know why I'm doing something other than that I just saw it and it's a nice flashy thing, you know, it's not going to work. What you really need, and there's so many tools that are coming out to the market, that you really need to know which one you're going to invest in and how you're going to use it strategically. How are you going to build your business is kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. And you got to start putting the little, you know, pieces of that puzzle together. If you have a really nice piece of a puzzle that doesn't belong to your puzzle, you're never going to make it work. Okay, so it's not about how beautiful, how shiny, how nice that piece is. It's whether it makes sense to your puzzle or not. And each one of us has different ways of managing our business. So each one of us is to make the decision on which one of all those tools that are out there are going to actually make it better for you.
Yeah, and I love that.
But that's the part that's the human part. That's the right. Strategic brain. That's the person that thinks beyond that, you know, shiny object. AI is never going to change that because you are the driver of your own business.
It also interesting because I think about the answer to the first question and kind of my thoughts on that, and then this one as well, which is when I hear you talking, I'm thinking about like you have to have that foundation. You have to have the foundation and then the strategic side and the goal before you're adding the tech, because otherwise tech is just tech. And it's funny, mm-hmm. You talk about the woodworking. I've used an analogy with golf. I was like, you could give me the most expensive golf clubs on the planet and I still suck because my fundamentals are garbage. Like I am a bad golfer. You could give Tiger Woods a $5 Goodwill used golf club and he will destroy me every day of the week. And so his fundamentals are so good, the tool doesn't matter against me, where my fundamentals are so bad. Now he's playing against other professionals, then it matters. But that's like when I hear you talking, it's like you need that fundamental, the strategic, the skills, and then the tech, whatever is called tech, is then the layer on top to accomplish it.
That's the exact same thing. The perfect analogy. Yeah, and I'm also a terrible golfer too. So, you know what the problem is, you know, and then I'll I'll tell you a little bit about myself. The problem is that I'm never good at anything because I get bored and I do different things. So yeah. What happens with me with woodworking is I never learn a technique because when I'm about to learn it, I'm already doing something else. So that's unfortunately that's the way I'm wired.
So I stopped, this is super side note for the audience. I stopped buying sports equipment for that reason because I had so many different things from the tennis phase to the golf phase to the whatever phase and all those things. And then I heard this thing, and this might help you, Claudia, and anyone in the audience, is there's a difference between an itch and a burn. So an itch is something you want to do or you're thinking about and you want to scratch that itch. And once you do, it's over, versus a burn, which is like, I'm going to do this thing and nothing is ever going to stop me. And I'm going to go through whatever challenges when it's not fun anymore. I'm just going to keep going. Right. So when I hear that and I think of you, I think business brokerage, what you're doing for roofers, what we were talking about when you and I met over coffee, that will not be on the episode because it's your plans to come. That's a burn. You're going to do those things. Nothing is going to stop you. You're going to be like the Kool-Aid man going through every wall possible. Mm-hmm. You're going to make it happen. And golf is an itch. Woodworking is an itch.
Exactly.
Hey, this sounds fun. Let's try this. Okay, now I want to do something else.
Absolutely. People, 100%
woodworking is a burn, right? Like that's like, I'm going to do this and I love doing it. And it's my thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a big difference.
True. Absolutely. Great. Yeah. So,
okay. So next one. So we're recording this. It's early 2026. Last year, 2025. What was the biggest lesson or lessons from last year? Considering that was what your second year of a roofing focus of the industry, but was the biggest lesson of last year? If you're listening to this and thinking, I want this level of authority, I just don't have the time to build it. That's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. And that's what we build for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and authority signals everything you need that we've talked about here. So if you want this impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it would look like for your business. Now back to the episode. But what was the biggest lesson of last year?
There's many lessons that I learned. First, I learned a lot about, and this is very, you know, industry specific, if you will. I learned where to put my marketing money, and I learned by spending way too much marketing money in things that I didn't need, or they didn't return any ROI. I learned that in the roofing industry specifically, there's a lot of money coming into the industry, but there's a lack of quality companies to sell to that money, and this is. Mm. So big, and we had this conversation over coffee the other day, and that I had conversations with some private equities, and they were saying, well, we had over 400 interviews and we only bought one or two companies. So what I did this morning, you know how I am, you know, we had the conversation yesterday. This morning I woke up and I sent an email to about 500 private equity buyers, and I asked them, how many companies did you interview last year? How many did you present an LOI for? And how many did you actually buy? And I'm getting that information now. I'm gathering it. I'm going to create a report on that. But the numbers are really, really disheartening. Now, the 400 is one of the numbers. There were 300. There's 150. And they all end up buying one or two. So what I did learn is that the whole industry, and I think we can extrapolate this to any other market. The industry is extremely, extremely inefficient. So there's got to be something that we need to do. And, you know, those other brokers that are listening to this, maybe we can get together and find a way to improve our batting average. And it's not the brokers, okay? It's not about the brokers only. It's the whole industry. You have to kiss a lot of frogs to find a prince, and that costs money. So, you know, every time I'm talking with a buyer, with a seller that I know is not going to be a sellable business, I'm wasting my time, my money, my energy. So, you know, we talked. I'm thinking of ways to change that. okay? And yeah. and that's kind of becoming my obsession, because I think there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to sell businesses. And houses is a lot easier, right? Typically, houses spend a couple of months in a market and then you sell them. But businesses, yeah. it could take hundreds and sometimes thousands of days to sell a business. And sometimes, many times, we just don't sell it. So how do yeah. you get to make the whole industry a lot more efficient so we can all make more money and stop spinning our wheels sometimes?
Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts, and in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
Efficient so we can all make more money and stop spinning our wheels sometimes.
Yeah. And it's interesting because on the real estate side, it's mostly formulaic. If you want a property to sell and you want, to get a good price in the market, then mm-hmm. there's things that you do, right? And you have to be aware of the kitchen, the bathroom, the carpet, the paints, the inside, outside. Like it's pretty much like you look at it and go, okay, this, and then the market will tell you quicker than it does for business. Businesses, obviously there's a formula as well. It's a little more involved. And then everyone is so unique that then it gets kind of difficult to have that quality business come out the other end. So then the next question I have for you is, what are you excited most this year? It sounds like going back to the itch versus the burn category, mm-hmm. it sounds like this is one of the things for you is the high quality business.
Yes, I keep saying that, I consider myself the roofing biz broker. So I sell roofing companies. I'm going to change that. To just add one more word, I'm going to sell quality roofing companies, not just roofing yeah. companies. And if you're not a quality roofing company, then you have two options. You either work with me to improve it, and I can help you get that company to be an investment grade company, or work on yourself and by yourself. And, we'll talk later, but that's my thing. And I think that vision actually aligns a lot with my values, that I can help good entrepreneurs become great investment grade entrepreneurs. There's a big difference between one or the other. But if you did build a business that is good and sustainable, you actually created so much benefits for everybody around it that I think it's worth the try. It's worth the effort to do that.
And really drawing that line, which, any brokers listening to this have seen this, which is the lower quality business mm-hmm. where maybe it's the financials are a mess, or maybe there's no structure, or maybe it's 100% owner dependent, where to the market, this is not a quality purchase, like a rundown house in a really good neighborhood, but at the wrong price or whatever it is, that differentiation. And I think it's important because then what you're doing and what you're building towards is closing that gap and solving that inefficiency in the market between the sellers and all of the buyers that are out there looking to spend money, wanting a quality business to then, be the launch of what they're going to do with it, right?
Yeah, and think about it. And I just thought about this as you were talking, right? So if I'm a business broker, whatever I sell, what is my product? Well, my product is the business that I sell, mm-hmm. right? So if I can get to a point where a buyer that I reach out to knows that a company that I am representing is good quality, yeah. it's basically as if you were selling any kind of service or product. When people look at you or they come and ask you, they know that your product or your service is good quality. If I'm selling companies or trying to push companies that are not really good quality, that's actually affecting my product, right? So mm-hmm. think about it that way. That's as brokers,
yeah.
That's what we sell. We sell a business. If the business is not a quality business, then they're not selling something great.
Yeah. And another analogy, another thing that for anyone listening that knows cars or how the luxury car market goes, there's, you know, luxury car makers like Ferrari, where they will launch a new special edition of a car and it's exclusive. And you would have had to like buy other cars to earn the right to it. And then when they announce this very expensive, you know, unique car, limited production, it sells out instantly because they reach out to everyone who qualifies and then it's done because it's quality. And so you think of that, right, versus the inverse. And you think Porsche has that too with some of their models. Like you have to like have jumped through a lot of hoops to get those. And you think of the other end of the spectrum, which is you want to buy a Toyota. You go to the dealership, you buy a Toyota, and they have to sell a lot of those, right? And so which business do you want to be in as a broker, you know, where your what is your product? So yeah. I think that's important.
What I'm saying about the quality companies is your company might not be what I call investment grade today, but it can be in the future. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that, I didn't make it this year. Well, okay, let's work on it. You know, what's wrong with your company that we can fix? Your accounting, typical. Are you the business and are you not delegating? Then we talk with about leadership. And the great thing is that I have relationships with many excellent professionals that can help your company be an investment grade company. So the other thing, thinking about this, the other thing that as a broker I try to do is I try to think a lot more strategically than tactically. To me, it's not about the deal I'm going to close the next month. It's about how am I going to build my business. So in 2027, 28, 29, 2030, I have a constant flow of business, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard about, you know, deal breath that many brokers have. And why do you have that? Yeah. It's because you don't have a recurring flow of business. And why does that happen? It's because once you finish one deal, you know, you've got to go and look for the other one. You don't have a process that brings more deals to you. So if you can build that that pipeline, that process, you know, you don't have that breath, that deal breath, and you don't have to close a deal next week to pay your mortgage, right?
Yeah.
And that's very important because your clients don't want you to just close a deal to get a paycheck. What they want you to do is to get the best deal for them. And the best deal takes time. I'm working on a deal right now that, you know, I put it on the market in December. So we're 1 month later, not bad. I got several offers, but I'm not jumping at the first offer. I'm having the conversations with the buyers, with the seller. We're going back and forth. We're negotiating step by step. And I don't want to close this deal tomorrow. I want to close it when it's best for my clients.
I love it. All right. Final question of our after show, after party here is if you could wave a magic wand in the marketing sense, considering all the marketing that you're already doing and have one marketing strategy implemented automatically, you don't have to do anything. It just occurs. What would you pick?
Everything that I'm doing in marketing takes time and effort.
Yeah.
It's not... I would like to be present in every, not in every client, but in every referral or future referral partner that I work with. I think it's very important to create a referral network way beyond the typical accountants and attorneys, right? People that will refer you, you know, because they know you and they trust you. With their clients, okay? So let's suppose I'm working, and this is, I'm really working on this, and I've had some success so far. You know, let's suppose I find a great marketeer in the roofing industry, and I become very good friends with them. And this marketeer has 100 roofers that are their clients. Guess what? He's going to have a conversation eventually about selling the business, and eventually he's going to connect them with me. So if I could actually be in his mind or in any other industry person's mind immediately, that's what I like. I think the whole referral network marketing, referral network marketing, is very underrated. People don't use it as much as they should. And every referral person, every person that you meet that serves your client is a potential salesman for you. So bring value to them, okay? Do things to bring value to them, and eventually they will bring value back to you.
And I think, you know, from that perspective, it's so important, especially what you said at the end, which is subtle, but the most important part, which is to bring value, give value to them, and then they'll bring value to you, which is, you know, to give first, especially to give first without the expectation of like, okay, well, I did something for you. Now, you know, I need you to do something for me, or I need a referral. Like, just give, and then, you know, plant enough of those seeds and it will happen.
Exactly.
The question would be is with the magic wand, how do you make all that automatic? Which is tough, because we go back to the answer to the first and then the second question. It's all about relationships and it's about people. So some of that you could magic wand, the rest of it, you kind of got to be present.
Yeah, you can use technology to be in front of them. You can use technology to send stuff. I mean, you can automatically send stuff, but at the end of the day, it's you, your person. And you know, this industry, the business brokerage industry, is all unfortunately about you, right?
Yeah.
It's your personality, it's you who's out there. I couldn't delegate the relationships that I have. They're my relationships. And it makes it a little hard because you still, you know, you got to be there every day.
I love it. Any parting thoughts on this after show? Disjointed from the first episode. So I know some, you know, life has happened, brought up a lot of good things. Any final thoughts? Anything else you want to leave the audience with?
Yes. You know, I think it's all about enjoying what you do. I don't know why people become brokers. Every one of us has a different reason why you would become a broker. I have my own reasons. But if you're becoming a broker, if you want to be a business broker to make money, this is not the place. The only way you can make money by being a broker is not focusing on the money, but focusing on the people. And maybe that's true to many other places, right? If you put people and your clients, your associates, your referral network first, the money comes after, right? And you can make a lot of money, but not if you're focusing on that. If you're focusing on the people, and the money is the result of that. I did have many people that I met throughout my last 2 years in the roofing industry saying, oh yeah, I want to do this because I want to make so much money. Well, it doesn't work that way. It works when somebody calls you and says, hey, thank you for having sold my business. You know, I'm happy. I'm retired. I did this with the money. I have a client that bought a whole racetrack with the money and the Smyrna racetrack. Right? People that are traveling around the world. And you know, that's it. You know, and honor your clients and the money will come first. Honor your money and clients will come.
And I think that's important because that whole deal breath and everything else. And, you know, fundamentally, what I've learned about business brokerage from people like you and others I've spoken with, it's really hard and deals take a long time or they fall apart and all that time was spent for nothing. So if you're in it for the money, it's going to be a very painful way to make money. And then that goes to the itch and the burn, right? Like if you have the burn to help businesses and you have your reason for being in it of what drives you, that's different. If it's an itch because you want to make some money, it's not a fun way to make money just for money's sake, right?
You could be working for a whole year with a client and do nothing. It happens all the time. So, you know, if you want to make money, do something else. If you want to have a great impact in society, which I do believe, and I'm sorry, I keep talking, but
I
do believe that our profession, if it's well done, it has a very strong impact in society because you're actually taking somebody that worked for 20, 30 years of his life and you're giving him a great deal at the end of his, you know, professional life or his active life. If you do a bad job at that and you get him a raw deal, you're killing somebody that worked for a long time. So. Yeah. That is a responsibility. Many people don't even think about that, but it is true. It's, you know, when you do a bad deal for somebody, hey, you know, you're not helping them, right? And that person maybe worked for 20, 30 years and now they're stuck.
Which is why it shocks me to this day that there's no licensing requirements, insurance, E&O, malpractice insurance. Like, mm-hmm. A plumber is more of a profession than business brokers, because at least they have to take a test, they have to have insurance, they have to be certified. Like, they have regulations.
Yes.
You know, your industry doesn't, which is interesting, and then leads to the fact that, you know, the well-known status, 80% of businesses don't end up selling. And so, like, why is that? So it's fascinating, what you're talking about, and then this industry. So
I'm going to get in trouble with the business brokers associations and all that, but I can't believe that we need a real estate license to sell businesses.
It's crazy.
It's like, you know, needing a driver's license to fly a plane. It's like, to me, it makes no sense. I think we need to have a business brokerage license. 100%. I know that when people hear this, I'm going to get some, you know, heat on that, but hey, that's what I believe in. I mean, you sell a house, you just show the, the four bedrooms, three bathrooms, and it's recently painted. You sell a business and you're talking about a completely different thing. You're talking 100%. P&L, balance sheets, you're talking SOPs, you're talking, owner dependency. It's night and day.
Yeah.
But that's where we are.
Yeah.
And that's why, to your point, 80% of the businesses don't sell. That's one of the reasons why.
We were on a roll. We had a lot of good info. You've shared a lot of great stuff. And then we end on that. But it's true. And I appreciate it. And I think it's good, right?
Well, you can cut it if you didn't.
No, I think it's important, the all of it, because like you said, and what was leading up to that is, if you're doing it just for the money, then it's not the right thing, and it's not helpful. And the industry is so valuable. Kind of goes back to everything we've been talking about for this after show on the heels of the main one, because it is so important. So I love all of that. I appreciate you sharing all of that and being here and coming back for part two on this.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well.
So and if you want to part three, or you want to come back to Graciano's for a coffee or maybe dinner, that would be great.
Yes,
but
we will definitely do that. We're definitely going to revisit some stuff, because as you specifically are building all the things that you're focused on this year, it would be fun to update the audience and to share that with them. So until then, Claudio, I appreciate you being here. Thanks for all that you shared, and then all you're doing for the business out there, and focusing on the quality and helping them get there as well, not just cherry picking, but also being a part of that journey. So I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Very nice talking with you again, man.
Yes. And for everyone else, the Claudio's links and all of his information will be in the show notes. If you didn't check it out, make sure to check out part one. If you're just catching this and be like, I don't understand what they were talking about, go back and check out part one. So much good content. You'll understand Claudio and his vision and his path and everything to get to where he is now. So much more. But the link will be in the show notes. Anything you need to reach out to him, to chat with him. He's mentioned this in the first episode, but he's an educator and he's a giver, and he's always willing to chat with anybody and support however he can. So it's one of the things about his nature that's amazing. So, and like I say at the end, until next time, stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.